Welcome to the Pearl of Great Price. Thanks for joining us today. It's December the 29th. Now, on this day in Christian history, we go back to the year 1170, and we travel to Canterbury in England, where the popular Archbishop, Thomas à Becket, was murdered in Canterbury Cathedral by knights of King Henry II. It was a murder that changed the course of history. And Becket was immediately hailed as a martyr and canonised in 1173, 3 years after his death. After which his shrine in Canterbury Cathedral became a pilgrimage destination, with relics associated with him distributed to churches throughout Europe. Within a generation, his death and the subsequent miracles had transformed Canterbury into one of the most important pilgrimage destinations in all of Europe. And you can even find images of his murder now in churches across what was then Latin Christendom, from Germany and Spain to Italy and Norway. In 1220, his body was moved from the crypt to a glittering new shrine in a purpose-built chapel upstairs in the cathedral. Geoffrey Chaucer, see the podcast of October the 14th, famously captured something of the atmosphere of the pilgrimage to this shrine in his Canterbury Tales. Becket had been one of the most powerful figures of his time, serving as a royal chancellor and later as an Archbishop of Canterbury. Initially a close friend of King Henry II, the two men had become engaged in a bitter dispute that culminated in Becket's shocking murder today by the knights with close ties to the king. He was a second generation French immigrant, and after a few years studying in Paris, he gained employment as a clerk for Theobald, who was then the Archbishop of Canterbury. Spotting his potential, Theobald suggested that Henry II appointed Becket as Chancellor of England. And he and the King quickly became close friends, hunting, gaming and travelling around England together. Becket embraced life in the royal court, throwing lavish parties and decorating his residences with beautiful furnishings and making numerous journeys to France in his own ships. However, when the position of the Archbishop of Canterbury became vacant, Becket was put forward. Given his lifestyle and reputation, he was an unlikely candidate, but the King was keen to appoint his close friend to the role, and crucially wanted him to continue as Chancellor. With Becket in both positions, King Henry saw it as an opportunity to exercise greater authority over the church as well as the state. However, at some time during the rest of that year, and against the king's wishes, Becket resigned as chancellor, driving a wedge between him and the king, which would never be repaired. It seemed to be a sincere conversion away from his previous lifestyle, for from then on he wore a sackcloth shirt and which reached to his knees and swarmed with all forms of wildlife. He had a very sparse diet, and his accustomed drink was water. Becket was summoned to appear before the King's Council and ordered to forfeit all of his personal property, but he refused to accept the terms of the punishment, and fearing further repercussions from the King, he fled to France, where he remained in exile for 6 years. Eventually he appealed to the Pope, and Henry promised to restore Becket's rights as the Archbishop of Canterbury, with Becket being reassured that it would be safe to return to England. But before leaving France, Becket issued 3 letters excommunicating some of his enemies, the Archbishop of York and 2 bishops from the church. Returning to Canterbury, he was greeted by cheering crowds and rejoicing monks, but he faced increasing hostility from the authorities loyal to the king. Meanwhile, the Archbishop of York and the bishops of London and Salisbury, furious that they had been excommunicated, travelled to Henry's royal court in Normandy, where they relayed Becket's actions to the king. Henry was outraged. Although it was unclear whether he ever specifically ordered retribution for Becket's actions, his furious outburst, "Will no one rid me of this turbulent priest?" prompted four knights to travel to Canterbury in search of Becket. We have five eyewitness accounts of his murder. And Edward Grimm tells us that when the four knights arrived at Canterbury Cathedral, Becket was in the Archbishop's palace. They attempted to arrest him, but he refused. Becket was persuaded by the monks to take refuge in the church, and when the knights pursued him, bursting into the cathedral with swords drawn, terrifying those inside, they shouted, "Where is Thomas Becket, traitor to the king and the kingdom?" The knights then rushed at him, roughly manhandling and dragging him, intending him to kill him outside of the church or to carry him away in chains. As Grimm recounts, Becket held tight onto one of the cathedral's pillars to prevent them seizing him. It was at this point that one of the knights raised his sword for the first time, bringing it down on Becket, slicing off the crown of his head. Two of the other knights then started to attack Becket, and most of the monks fled. The third blow brought the Archbishop's life to an end, and we are told in grisly detail how his brains mixed with his blood on the floor of the church, and they would become sources for relics when people would dip their cloths into them. The king was devastated when he heard what had happened. He was horrified when he heard the news, and he believed that it was his words that had caused his death. As an act of penitence, the king donned sackcloth and ashes and starved himself for 3 days. Unfortunately, Becket's shrine was totally destroyed during the Reformation in 1540, when King Henry VIII ordered his bones to be destroyed and all mention of his names obliterated. Today, the place of Thomas's death in Canterbury Cathedral is marked by a simple stone bearing his name. That's all from the Pearl of Great Price today. Thanks for listening. Join us tomorrow if you can, as we look at the film Ben-Hur. Please continue to email feedback on pogppod@gmail.com. And our archives can be found at www.pogp.net, where you can also continue to make donations through Patreon. If you have time, please subscribe and share the podcast with friends. Have a lovely day wherever you are, and thanks for listening.